The title this morning is Praise is What I Do, Part 3. Is that what it says? Praise is What I Do, Part 3. And God wants me to share with you and continue on the series of Praise is What I Do. Praise should be our lifestyle. Praise is what we do. Praise propels us beyond our problem. Praise is what we do to get into the atmosphere of where God's at. We want to tap into God, but we don't want to go where He's at. And when we praise Him, He shows up. The Bible talks a little bit about the importance of praise and that it should be genuine praise. It should be an expression of our love, and it should be an expression of our appreciation for God. Just not a performance to get God to do something. And when we're praising God, we're acknowledging Him for all His goodness. I don't know about you, but God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And we have to understand something, is when we praise God, our praise is so powerful that it transforms our faith walk. And in doing our faith walk, it also paralyzes the enemy. Let me say that again. When we praise God, our praise is so powerful, and it's so powerful as part of our faith walk, it strengthens us, but it also paralyzes the enemy. And I thought about that for a moment. Have you ever seen somebody who's been paralyzed? You ever see somebody in a wheelchair and they're paralyzed from the neck down? All they can do is watch. When we praise God, we paralyze the enemy, and all he can do is watch. He can't move. He can't shake. He might nod his head. He might not like what he's seeing. But when we praise Him, it paralyzes. It freezes him into position. And all he can do is hear the praises and wishing that he could get back into the saving grace of God. You think the devil likes where he's going to be for eternity? Absolutely not. But when we praise God, it gives us strength. It gives us strength to get through what we're going. Because when we praise Him, we begin to take the focus off of us and put it onto Him. And He's the one who can help us. Amen? Praise is what we do. When we have nothing else to say or do, we just praise Him. We should incorporate thanksgiving and praise into our daily lives. It's just not a time that we get together on Sunday and praise Him. We should be praising Him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Well, we should praise Him all the time for what He's done. Amen? God has a purpose for everything, and our praise has a meaning, a deeper meaning than what you just think it is. When you praise Him, God begins to let you enter into some places where you've never been before. Amen? When we praise God and thank Him, we're acknowledging Him and all His promises. In this manner of our praises, it completes our faith and brings us to total restoration. When we praise Him, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. He dwells there so that He can deliver you from whatever you're bound up in. Praise helps you. Praise loosens you. Praise breaks you free. Praise breaks off the chains of Paul and Silas. And he shook the foundation of the very ground that they were walking. Why? Because they praised God. Praise builds your faith. Praise defeats the devil. And praise ministers to God. So this morning we're going to see what else praise does. Amen? And we're going to look in the Bible. That scripture we've been following the last 2 weeks is in Psalms 34 verse 1. Psalms 34, verse 1. Psalms 34, verse 1. It says, I will praise... No, what does it say? I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless Him when it's good. I'm going to bless Him when it's bad. I'm going to bless Him when I'm tired. I'm going to bless Him when things are going fairly okay. I'm going to bless Him even when I just have no idea why I'm praising Him. I'm going to praise Him. Why? All the time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So if you're praising, then curses won't come out of your mouth. If you're praising Him, you won't be saying something negative about something. If you're praising Him, your situations are going to look good. When you're praising Him, you're going to build an atmosphere of something positive. It says in verse 2, my soul shall make it boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. In other words, God doesn't want you just to praise him alone. He wants you to praise him with other people. Praise him when you're at work. Praise him while you're driving in the car. Praise him when you're going through the line at Starbucks or McDonald's. Amen. Praise him that there's a long line at McDonald's, so it gives you a little bit extra time to praise him. Amen. Because we're always in a hurry. I hate to wait. I hate to hit red lights. But it's a time I can just praise him. Well, okay, you're allowing me to go a little slower to work today for a reason. I'm just going to thank you for it. Amen. You might have helped me avoid an accident or something along the way because I was in too much of a hurry to get where I needed to go. But God will slow some things down to position you to be where you need to be. Amen. But I will bless the Lord at all times. Even when I don't feel good, even when I get a bad report, even when people are talking about me, I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to bless his name. I'm still going to have praises come out of my mouth no matter what people think or say. Amen? So it's good for us to praise God. It's good for us to praise God. He inhabits the praise of his people and shows up to deliver us out of our troubles. Take a look at Psalms 92:1 this morning. Psalm 92:1. This is the New King James Version. Psalms 92:1, New King James Version says this: It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. It is good to give thanksgiving or thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to his name. That's what the Bible says. We need to praise him. We need to be thankful for who he is. Let us not cease to praise and rejoice, because through praise and thanksgiving, God keeps us ahead, one step ahead of the enemy every time we praise God. In everything we should do, we should give him thanks. God knows us intimately. God knows what you're thinking before you're even going to come out of your mouth. Amen? He knows your thoughts. He knows your actions. He knows what you're all about. And he's trying to perfect things that are inside of you that concern him. So when you praise God, what happens is God is starting to doing some transformation. When you start to praise God, you say, Lord, I want to get the focus off of me and put it on you, because I need you to change me. I need you to help me. I need to activate your promises that are yes and amen. Even in the midst of our trials, we should thank him, not for the trial, but for what he's already done. God never gives you anything you can't handle. You might not think you can handle it at the time, but he can get you through it. There's always a plan of escape. There's always a way out. God always gives a way out. And when you praise him, he'll deliver you. He'll get you on the way out. Think about Paul and Silas last week. We talked about that. They were in the inner court, and their praise and thanksgiving to God loosened their chains. The earth crumbled. The doors were open. People's lives got changed and saved. See, even in our trials and tests, we should praise him, because God wants to do something in the midst of those things. God wants to do something in your life. God wants to change some things. The Bible says that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Take a look at Psalm 150. Psalm 150, verse 6. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say that with me. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, let everything that has breath. Our plants take a breath. They praise God when the wind is blowing. Amen. We should be praising him all the time. Everything that has breath should praise him, because he's already done so much for us. He's already given us salvation. He's already given us a plan of escape. He's already given us healing. He's already provided for us financial breakthrough. When we give, we will receive 100, 30, 60, 100-fold return. Amen? Don't be moved by natural circumstances. Don't be moved by natural circumstances. Jesus was never moved by what he saw, but what he had seen in his spirit, he could change. Amen? Don't be moved by natural circumstance. Don't be moved by what you're facing before you, because remember, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're at a different plateau. We're in a different level. Amen? Don't be moved by natural circumstances. The doctor's report that comes in and says, hey, things aren't going to go too well for you. Amen? I don't get moved by those things. I used to get really moved and concerned and whoa, what did you say I got? Or what diagnosis and what medicines I got to take? I used to be concerned about, but now I don't allow those things to affect me. I just praise him through it. Because somehow during this circumstance or this timing or this season that I'm going to go through, if I can praise him, I can get through it. Amen? Didn't mean that it was going to be easy. It didn't say it wasn't going to be painful. He didn't say it was going to be, oh, this is a great thing. No, but you can get through it when you praise him. Take a look at Luke 17:12. Luke 17, verse 12. You're going to like this one. Luke 17, verse 12, it says, and then as he, this is Jesus, entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. In other words, they were praising God. Lord, have mercy on us. We've got this affliction on us, and we know that you're the answer. They didn't call up Oprah. They didn't call up Dr. Phil. They didn't call up Dr. Seuss. They called on Jesus. Amen? And he said, so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And so it was that they went and they were cleansed. They were cleansed, but they might have not been completely whole. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a real quiet voice. Oh, hey, Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Hey, Jesus, I want to tell you something. I just want to tell you this little secret. No. He came with a loud voice. I don't know about you, but when I got my diagnosis, when I had that cancer removed from my lung in the middle of I had a loud noise. I was excited. I was shouting from the rooftop. I remember waking up my wife, and it's hard to wake up my wife because she sleeps pretty sound, amen? But I said, I'm a freight train coming. And she woke right up. Why? In a loud voice, I glorified God. That's what he did. And he fell down on his face at the feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Wasn't even one of his own. I mean, it was a foreigner. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. It's funny how God identified this. This was a Samaritan who had leprosy. And he's the only one that came back to give God praise. There were 10, but only one came back. They were all still cleansed, but this one got the full healing. He was made well. That means you're restored back to better than when you started. Amen? Jesus was never moved by the natural circumstances of these people. Amen? He told the lepers to show themselves to the priest because lepers were required to show that they had been healed of a disease. So they had to go to the priest and say, hey, hey, look at me, I'm no longer sick. And how did you get that way? Whose name were you praying? You're praising what name? The name of what? Jesus? It is important that we do what the Lord tells us to do, because we never know how the healing is going to manifest. God may do it one way this time, He'll do it a different way another. God is not into setting a pattern of doing things. He does it His way. And His way is never our way. And my timing is not His timing. His timing always is right. Amen? Why did I have to go 12 years with battling with a pancreas problem? Why did I have to spend tens of thousands of dollars a year? Oh, I was learning something along the way. It was progress. I already knew He touched me. I already knew I was well. I just hadn't gotten the manifestation of it. 12 years like a woman with the issue of blood. But just I touched His garment and then I was healed. I love this. Jesus asked about the other nine, but they were nowhere to be found. They were probably celebrating. They were probably rejoicing. But, you know, you got to understand something about lepers, though. Sometimes when you have leprosy, some of their limbs were missing. Due to the severity of the illness, maybe their fingers were gone, or their toes were gone, or maybe half their leg was gone. Leprosy, I mean, that stuff just fell off. Kind of weird. Parts just fell off. They were walking, all of a sudden, oop, they don't have that finger anymore, you know. But Jesus said He touched that leper and healed him and made him whole instantly. So fingers probably grew out. Whole arms that were gone were... I mean, I don't know about you, I would be in a loud voice jumping and shouting Jesus. Amen? It's something about when you praise Him, it puts you in His presence where He can go and do something for you. When the leper returned to Jesus, he gave Jesus thanks, and he was made whole. Remember the story about the two fish and the five loaves of bread? And they had to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. It might have been 20,000 people, 15,000, 20,000 people there. And the only food that was available was that boy's meal. Remember that story? And it only had two fish and five loaves. But something is interesting, and if you can get this morning, it will set you free. When Jesus gave thanks for what they had and praised God, something happened. When you give thanks to God for what you have, because a lot of us are complaining about what we don't have. I don't have that nice house, or I don't have a new car, I don't have new shoes, or I don't have. When Jesus gave thanks for what they had and then praised God, when you thank God for what you do have, we move from not enough to more than enough. Let me say it again. When you thank God for what you do have, you move from not enough to more than enough. Well, I don't have this yet, and I'm working on this plan, and this hasn't come about yet. But thank Him for what you already have, because more is on its way. When you praise God, more comes. More than enough shows up at your doorstep. Amen? When you praise Him, God hears it. When you praise Him, God wants to show up. When you praise Him and look beyond your conditions and your problems, God shows up and does something miraculous for us. But you got to praise Him and be thankful, because it moves you from enough to more than enough. At work, people in other offices are astounded by how we run our operation, because it's different than all the other offices. And so sometimes I get flack for not being part of the entire family. But I try to explain to them, some of them have leprosy. Uh-oh. And when you say something of, and that occurred where, you know, I play by the rules, but there's some things that we do different in Vegas than we do in your other offices. And they haven't figured out the ingredient that I use is God. They're doing it in the flesh, and they're doing it in the natural. And yes, they're successful to a point, but I'm doing it in the supernatural realm, and then God delivers and shows up. See, I praise God even when it was inconvenient. I even praised Him when I was tired. I was talking to a gentleman from another office, and he had sent us two technicians from Fresno area, and they're helping us out because we have so much work and they don't. So I'm going to give them a helping hand by helping me bring these guys down. We put them in a nice hotel, and they were supposed to drive back on Friday and they had to work late, so I'm going to keep them another week. And their manager called and said, well, you know, it's best that you keep them there another week because we're a little short on work. And I said, I understand. And then he said something. He says, just put them into some cheap old Motel 6. That's what we do with these guys. You know, they don't need anything more. And I said, well, don't worry about it. I'll take care of whatever they need when they're here. I didn't put them in no Motel 6. I didn't put two guys in one room. They both got separate rooms. They're in a nice suite. They spent a week over at the Luxor. This week they're spending a week at the Quad. And the guy goes, well, isn't that going to cost you a little bit more? I says, yeah, it might cost a bit more, but these guys sure are talking highly about me. What do you mean? Oh, nothing. You'll figure it out. It'll cost me $500 more, $1,000 more. I say that because I praise God for having some common sense and some smarts. Ask me to be out of town for 2 weeks. It better be a nice hotel. I'm not staying in a Motel 6. Not that a Motel 6 isn't good, but 2 weeks of being inconvenienced should do something for me. They didn't come asking for it. I just did it. They were blown away. They said, we got separate rooms. Was that an accident? I said, no. Are you guys married? Are you partners? No, then is it okay I put you in separate rooms? I come out to the job site. Say, hey, our boss never comes out to the job site. I said, well, I just want to check on you. Just make sure everything was okay. I praise Him no matter what the circumstance looks like. You praise Him no matter what the conditions are. You praise Him beyond your problems. And God propels you beyond those problems when you praise Him. Take a look at Romans 4:19. I'll close with this scripture. Because I can hear your stomachs running. Saying, feed me, Pastor. Romans 4:19. And not being weak in faith, not being weak in faith, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body ready, already dead, since he was about 100 years old. Remember Abraham? And the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham praised him even when he was 100 years old. He praised him even though Sarah's womb had deadness. Because Abraham was focused on God's promise, not his problem. When we thank God for something we cannot see in the natural, we are admitting that it is real to us. Let me say that again. When you thank God for something you can't see in the natural realm, what you're doing is you're admitting that it is real to us. People say, that's crazy. Now, I'm just pulling things from the spiritual realm into my earthly realm. We are acknowledging the good we have in Christ Jesus. And we release our faith for the unseen blessing. I love this scripture because it says that he was not being weak in faith, which means he must have been strong in faith. He didn't consider his condition of his body. He didn't consider, oh my God, I'm 100 years old. I can't hook up with my wife like that. I'm 100. Really? That's not what God said. Even in the deadness of Sarah's womb, he said, hey, I got to look beyond that. I got to look beyond the physical realm and tap into what God said. And he didn't waver at the promise that God gave him. He never got in unbelief. You might have said, yeah, I believe it, Lord, but I don't really like to see it. But he was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God. I like that. Abraham didn't look at the problem. He didn't say, man, the problem, I'm 100 years old. Didn't have Viagra then. Couldn't have a baby, huh? I don't see it, Lord, but your word said I could. See, the Lord is saying this morning, there's some things you could have, and he's already promised them to you, but you got to get your mindset straight. Don't look at what you see, but look at what you can't see. Look at to God. Begin to praise him when you're going through your circumstances and situations. When you begin to start doubting that God's there, begin to praise. He'll enter into your atmosphere. Amen. Shout praise is what I do. Touch your neighbor and say, praise is what I do. See, when we praise and worship God, we shift our thinking to his promises and away from our problems. In other words, when we begin to praise, we tune everything else out. You ever do that? I mean, I've been driving in a car, and there's sometimes I'll be praising and worshiping God, and I didn't know how I even got to work, but then I'm in my office. I pulled, and it's like the whole time it was just like, I don't recall any of it. It's almost like you're like transported. And there's not even a thought or a concern or a worry. Because when you get into his praises, God begins to start putting inside of you his promises. See, our problems look small when you compare them to God. Amen? What happens is we look at our problem and we put these magnifying glasses on and we go, oh my God, it's wow, that's pretty big. And then you take that off, but you compare it to God, it ain't nothing. God can handle everything, every circumstance and every situation. See, praise brings everything to a point of completion because God inhabits the praises of his people. When you praise him, he inhabits. He begins to partake. He begins to be part of your praises. You're no longer alone. The car gets a little crowded because you're having a Holy Ghost party. Amen. See, our praise is our strength. And when we praise God, we push away the hurt, the bondages, the oppression of the enemy. We paralyze the enemy. We said that earlier. We paralyze him. He's like a guest in the car that can't say a darn thing when you begin to praise God. All he can do is sit there and take it. I like that. For all the things the devil dished out on me, I want him to watch me praise God. I want to hear him have the word of God on my lips and say, devil, how do you like me now? Ha, ha, ha. Amen. Wish you could touch this, but you can't. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed and highly favored of God. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Hey, devil, how do you like that? And all he has to do is sit there and take it. Praise opens our hearts and prepares us to receive from God. When we praise God, we open ourselves up so that God can deposit something in. He's inhabiting our praises. Even in the midst of our trials, we should thank God, not for the trial, but for what he's already done. God allows you to go through some stuff so that He can come out on top. He wants to test what you've been made out of. Have you been spending time in His Word? What's going to come out of you when you get squeezed? I know when I squeeze toothpaste, you know what's going to come out? Toothpaste. When you get squeezed, what comes out? Because when you begin to praise Him, the devil's watching. Amen. He can't say anything because he's bound up. He's paralyzed. But he'll be taking note on what's coming out of your mouth. Praise will change our circumstances, and it will restore whatever we've lost. When you praise God, God begins to change some things. He begins to shift stuff in the atmosphere. He begins to change things just for you. Amen? When we thank God for what we already have, we move out from just enough to more than enough. He's more than enough kind of God. Is He not? Lord, all I needed was $20 this week, but man, You blessed me with $100. I want to give You a little bit more than enough. He wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. When you thank God for something you cannot see in the natural, you're admitting that it's real to you. I can't see this. I can't see that. In the natural, I don't see it, but in the spiritual realm, it's coming forth. Last week we left here and we decided to go look at homes. New homes. Just check them out, you know. We want to start to plan and figure what our next step is. So we want to get God behind that. Amen? So we have to go look at something so that we can get and identify what we'd like to have. And then we praise God for what we're going to have. Amen? I praise Him for what I have today, a beautiful place to stay. But I praise Him for what He's about to do, where He's going to take me, in some subdivision where they don't know my name yet, but they sure will soon. When you step in, the anointing shows up. You shift the atmosphere. You change people's mind. People might be cursing and talking. You go to that water cooler and you walk by, like, all quiet up for some reason. Or they disperse, and we'll talk about this later. When you praise Him, you want to have praise on your lips, people will either draw close to you or they'll run away from you. So we looked at those homes, and we looked at the prices, and we said, oh, God, You're big enough to handle it. You're big enough to put the down payment. You're big enough to do it. But I don't have it today. In my physical realm, but Lord, I can see something in the spiritual realm that You can orchestrate that for me. But I have to go out and make my steps and do what I need to go do, and then God meets every step. Because didn't He say the righteous man and righteous woman's steps are ordered to God? Okay. Didn't it say that He already stepped and walked before us? All we got to do is walk in what He's got? Amen. So we looked at the homes and we dreamed about it. We talked about it. We prayed about it. We praised God for it. Do we get the single story? Or do we get the ranch with the loft? Do we get the four bedroom? Do we just put marble floors down and heck with that carpet and dirt and debris? So you guys start thinking big. Lord, I don't know how You're going to do it, but You're capable. See, I had to look at those numbers, and I seen that, and I went, ooh, Jesus. Hey, you need these? You see that? You got to figure it out. He's already made the way when there seems to be what? No way. When you praise Him, that's not a problem for God anymore. So it's not a problem for me. How's it going to get paid for? I don't know. God's going to have to figure that out. I'm just going to walk in the steps, and as every time they say yes, 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 I'm going to keep on walking through that door until it's mine. Oh, you're crazy, Pastor. No. That's how I got that car, that new truck. I went and looked at them all the time. I'd run those guys through the gamut. Oh, I'm going to, how, can you spend $10,000 on the car? Can you do $600 a month? No. But there was one day when I went and they could do it for what I said I wanted it for. I said, here's my old car. Give me the new one. Thank you. But I praised them along the way. I had gotten several no's along the way. It's okay to get a no because a yes is coming. And when God says yes, it's yes and amen. Well, Pastor, I haven't been healed yet. Yes, it's coming. I don't have all the finances yet. Yes, it's coming. My kids are jacked up, and I've been praying for them for years. Yes, they're coming. I got family members in, and they don't know Jesus, and I've been praying. Yes, they're coming. Or our city, it needs to be saved. Yes, it's coming. There's a revival coming. Yeah, it's coming. And the more that we praise Him, the more those promises we get to partake in. God didn't have the promises just to have them there. He wanted you to have the promises. The yes and the amen. He wants to have you blessed and healed and whole and complete and healthy. You ever been in revival? Those things are 12, 14 hours long. They might go for days. You've got to be physically fit for that. So God's just preparing. Yes, Lord. I'm going to do what you said. Yes, Lord. I'm going to go to the gym and eat right. Yes, Lord, except for today. Amen. I'm going to do what you told me to do, God. Yes, I will. This looks like a giant mountain, but I've got God on my side. He's just going to blaze a trail right through it. How'd they make the roads? Someone had to blow some concrete up and move some mountains to get where they needed to go. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. But we just got to line up with what God says. We got to praise Him. We got to do what He's asked us to do. Praise is what we do. That should be part of our DNA. We should just thank Him for what He's already done. When we prayed for Ron, when he was in the hospital, we prayed for him, and then I was done praying. And then I just thanked him. I thank you, Jesus, for his healing. Lord, I thank you that he's awake from that bed. I thank you that the doctor's report says one thing, but Lord God, your report says, by your stripes, he's been healed. Lord, I thank you already that he's up, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that he's well. Lord God, I thank you that he's going to be a mouthpiece for it. I thank you, Lord, that he's working. See, you've got to just begin to thank him for it. That's called praise. When my daughter walks across this year to get her diploma, they're going to be clapping. They're praising her. Hey, you did 12 years of hard time. All right, praise God. Now you're getting your diploma. Hey, she got out of the house with you. Hey, no, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're 18, find your own way. Get out. Praise the Lord. No. Every time I look at that empty room, I cry. I mean, she'll be leaving us. Not soon, but she'll be leaving us. But we praise Him. We praise when someone scores a basket or they hit a home run or they score a goal. We praise that. But how much more could we praise God? Think about that. We praise the politician that did something right finally, and we praise this person. But we forget to praise God who created that person. Watch the movie awards and they get the award and they forget that who gave them the gift and the talent to be where they're at was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to thank so-and-so. I want to thank my producer. How about thanking Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. I praise you for giving me this opportunity. Thank you for putting me on the stage so I can use the name of Jesus everywhere I go. Praise is what we do. I didn't say it was going to be non-offensive to people. I don't care. The Muslims pray five times a day. They take the time and they do their call. Why aren't we praying five times a day? We should join them on the mat. We'll pray to our God. You pray to yours and watch what's going to happen in our lives. They go lay out that little carpet down and they're going to pray. I'm going to get on that carpet with them and pray to my God. Because my God has ears to hear and a mouth that speaks and is always talking to me. Because that's to my life. Jesus says, live. When you praise Him, He hears you. He inhabits. He inhabits. He partakes. He becomes part of. He enjoys being with you when you praise Him. And when you got God on your side, look out, devil. It paralyzes him. It literally, the devil, every time you praise God, he is staring in the face of God, the one that booted him out of heaven and sent him to hell for eternity. Every time you praise, Jesus is with you. The devil is paralyzed because Jesus has got the keys and saying, devil, this one is mine. When you praise him, he inhabits your praises. Lord, bless your people. I thank you, Lord, that you inhabit the praises of your people. I thank you, Lord God, that even in the midst of our trials and our tests and our storms and our concerns and our issues of our life, Lord, we can praise you beyond those things and propel us into your promises, Lord. I thank you for those that are here this morning. I thank you, Lord God, that they've heard the word and it's been deposited in their heart. And Lord God, when it's deposited in their heart, their mouth will speak forth the word. And they'll praise you. They'll praise you no matter what is going on. They'll always continually have praises on their lips, on their mouth, Lord God. I ask you to bless your people. And Lord, as we partake in this food, Lord, I ask you to bless the hands that have prepared it. I ask you, Lord God, to touch, Lord God, those, Lord God, that are about to eat the food. Use it to nourish our bodies, to strengthen us, to allow us to have a great rest of the day fellowshipping. Let us just praise you for all that you do. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for even the tight spots because, Lord, I've got you with me. I thank you even in the rough patches and in the when people are talking about us, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, because you're with me. Because I know I'm going to praise you through it. I'm going to get to the other side. Lord, bless your people. Fill them, Lord God, to overflowing. Let everything they put their hands to, Lord God, be blessed. Everything they put their hands to, grow in the goodness and the mercies of God. I thank you, Lord, as they leave this place, they'll never ever be the same. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen.